Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? How are we doing today? The man, Wayne Breezy. Look at, I see the muscles. Dude, I see you, big dog.
Yeah, I'm hurting, Ooh. Though. Like,
oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm in pain. Like,
did you play for the 49ers this week or what?
It felt like it.
It's the way it goes sometimes, man.
Hey, listen, I told myself I have to be careful because I'm the first thing that comes out of my mouth is the player is trash. And I have to be careful because I don't necessarily mean that they're trash, but what I saw was trash. I'm not lying about that. And so, you know, when players get dinged up, I realized that those guys are hurting every single week. And on a short week, the radiation of the pain going through their bodies right now, man. I mean, if they all had that Wolverine stuff, they'll be good. But right now, we got a short week, man, and it's a divisional rival and Thursday night prime football, man. It's about to go down. So, John, I'm happy to be here. Again, nothing like the John and Wayne show, man. Nothing like the John and Wayne show.
We've been doing this for a little while, Wayne.
Just a little bit.
A couple shows together. And look, I'm going to be honest. Like, the vibes are low, right? But vibes are not measurable. Like, you felt great about games in the past. Has it gone well? You felt horrible about games in the past. They go very, very well. You don't know what's going to happen Thursday. We're going to be talking about Brock Purdy, Mac Jones. We're going to be talking about the wide receivers. We're going to talk about the corners. We're going to talk about the schedule. We've got a lot of stuff on the agenda, but, like, man, the Rams have been the get-right game for Kyle Shanahan for, like, 6 years. The 49ers playing the Rams after a loss, like, we have been in this situation so many times. Now, here's where it gets a little weird, because the 49ers are the most injured team in the NFL. The Rams are the healthiest team in the NFL, and you're playing on a short week.
Interesting. I had to whisper that in here.
Obviously, this schedule came out months ago before the injuries even started to pile up for the Niners. But, like, this is an issue. So, short week makes it worse. What are your thoughts? Healthiest team, least healthy team, short week, on the road?
I don't know what to think. Because I don't know which version of the 49ers is going to show up. I mean, at this point, if you're unhealthy to play, give me the healthiest people out there. Let them fully practice and let them rock. Like, at this point, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather have that and lose the game with healthy options out there than people limping around and potentially getting more injured. Now, I'm also supportive on these players. If they say they can play, then I'm expecting them to play. Like, if you say you are good to go, I mean, the players, it comes down to the players. I don't, people think it's the coach. And no, the players be like, no, I could play. I'm good, coach. And you've seen that, John. You're a coach. Players come to you all the time. No, I'm good, coach. How good are you? Oh, I'm 110%. Lying motherfucker. No, you're not. You know what I'm saying? But that's what they feel. And so you got to give them the opportunity. As a coach, though, depending on the severity of the injury, I mean, you're checking with your health staff, you're checking with all that. It's a lot. And I know everybody's going to trash Kyle Shanahan for playing Brock Purdy coming off. You can, but I don't get it. If he played this week and looked like shit, then what? You're going to say we rushed him back on the Thursday night game?
I don't think people understand Mac Jones was more hurt.
I take a toe over a PCL any day.
Like, he was more hurt. Now it's different, right?
It's different.
So now
yeah.
You reassess because now Brock's dealing with some whatever. Like, the toe is re-irritated. But, like, look, if you can play, you play.
Yeah.
Like, this is the most important game on the entire schedule. This is number one. If you could say, John, the 49ers can win one game that you can guarantee out of every game left on the schedule, I'm choosing this game. This would give you a division win over all three of the NFC West. This is the most important game of the entire schedule to this point.
Absolutely.
You play. If you Absolutely. Can play, you play. Absolutely. So let's talk about what John Lynch, general manager, team president, he's not team president, but he's like the
He's just a freaking GOAT, because I guarantee you trade deadline is going to be something's going to happen.
I agree with you. Now, he said on KMBR this morning, he said, quote, "We will take every precaution to make sure Brock's all right. I think he is. Now it's just a matter of can he turn it around on a short week," end quote. What do you make of this? It's kind of a cryptic message that, like, oh, yeah, we're going to protect him, but I think he's good, but it's a short week, so I don't know, but you know what? But then there's this, like, it's the most political answer ever, and the fact that you're not going to give anything away. So what are your thoughts just on these comments? Talk to me about Brock Purdy, Mac Jones, what the hell to do on this short week.
It comes down to practice. Does Brock remain limited? Is and if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I make both quarterbacks limited. I keep that the aura going forward.
Or make questionable, even
questionable. That's what I mean. Yeah. Same thing. Limited in practice means they're gonna end up being questionable. And that's what I do. Make Sean McVay prepare for two quarterbacks. And keep that going. And look, if Brock is cleared to play, because Brock said during the game, let's talk about what Brock said. Brock said to Kyle Shanahan during the game he didn't feel anything in his toe, which is possible. It probably was super taped up.
When you don't step into any throws, you're not going to feel any pressure there. You know what I mean?
Oh, we just took the shot at Brock. Okay. Because I'm like, if this mother, I counted 5 high throws, 3 low throws, and 1 overthrow. So you told him on the whole up, it was just not good throws, right? And so, it's on my Patreon. People think I'd be lying. I just go to the film, you know? The
film is going to tell you things. You can throw EPA, PFF, win success rate. What I don't watch the tape.
Yeah, film. Sit. I got that from you, you know? I'm not going to lie. If people want to know, I sat and watched film with John. And I was like, okay, I like the way he approaches it. I like the way Johnny Dell approaches it, but I'm nowhere near as smart as them. So I'm going to approach it from a different view, more, you know, and so that's where I get my film takes from. But it's nothing. I mean, it's the most boring shit ever. But I tell you what, you put on a playlist and you go to work, because I got to ask you this question, John. The amount of trash about Trent Williams. Now, I'm not saying he's great. But on the film this week, I didn't see the 4 pressures that he gave up in this game.
Right. You're right. Keep going.
And so I'm trying to see what people saw so that I can kind of understand it. And so when I watched the film, there was a Connor Colby pressure that led into a Trent pressure. So they both gave up the same damn pressure at the same time, because Connor Colby's man ends up on Trent after he blocked his man. And so I'm confused. And I'm not saying Trent is all-time great, but he's number 5 in the league in pass protection. And he's probably number 1, 2, or 3 in run blocking. And so I'm confused to where he's this bad. Is it because he gave up the pressures, or I mean, he's not giving up the sacks? So help me out, bro, because I'm confused. I want to make sure that I introduce what I'm seeing to the people correctly, John, because I was lost.
The Jacksonville Jaguars adopted the week 1 game plan of the Seattle Seahawks.
I saw
where they stunt and cross and ETE stunt, overload blitz that left side, because Trent's next to a rookie. Like, it's just what it is. And it worked week 1 and it worked week 4. And look, the similarities between the Seahawks and the Jacksonville Jaguars, they both have great, I would say, elite defensive lines and very good coach defensively, and it worked. Now, Trent is still a top 5 left tackle. I don't give a damn what anybody says. The tape says that.
Right.
Is he all pro guaranteed best in the position by a mile?
Not yet.
No, he hasn't seen that yet this year.
No, not yet.
He's still our best offensive lineman. It's not close. It's him, then it's Colton McKivitz, and then I don't know who you want to put third. It's probably Connor Colby, maybe.
I was going to say
he has more dominating plays.
He comes down and run blocking, and especially screens. He's a screen king. Like, he doesn't miss the block again on a tight end screen. Jake Brendel, first guy down there, man. Look, he missed the block again.
But he was down there. He was down there.
I mean, all credit to Connor Kobe setting the edge, setting that block screen, blocking the guy out. If you got Jake Brendel, all you got to do is block the guy in front of him. He doesn't, but shout out to Jake Tonjes just to say, I'm going to run you over anyway. It's just contact that didn't need to happen if the offensive lineman makes the block. He just missed again. It's just another whiff. So, But it's funny because if you do follow the grade and the statistics PFF-wise, I mean, Jake Brendel is like almost the best center in the game. I can't
figure.
Yeah,
but the tape says it's awful.
No, the tape says that
it's bad.
I don't know how he's the best center in the game, but tape, he is missing blocks in the run blocking. I think, and to me, that's the biggest issue this year.
Like, and here's the thing. PFF will grade it out positive because he blocks his guy, but whatever, his guy makes the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
over and over and over again, mm-hmm. for no gain, for 1 yard. Like, the guy he's responsible for is making the tackle repeatedly.
Bingo.
There are plays on 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 where he doesn't even touch a single defender. And
bingo.
Run up the middle or, like, the strip sack at the end of the game. Yeah,
it Brock drives you nuts.
Probably should have done better. Like, no, like I'm tired of being gaslit by people with the, oh, but the wind block rate and he's the 3rd highest. Like, nah, man.
I see what you're saying. Okay. That's not what the tapes. No, there's no way you're checking a wind block rate. It's not. There's no statistic in live action. And I will say this. You could credit that sack to Jake Brendel. I don't think the Niners credit-wise gave up any sacks, but on the film, if you watch the game, you could say that was on Jake. But it's hard for me to put that on solely on Jake, because Brock Purdy had plenty an opportune amount of time to throw the mother freaking ball to the wide open tight end. How do you give the tight end the touchdown a few plays before and he runs for 21 yards and he's staring you in your face? I don't know what Brock is seeing sometimes, but he definitely was checking down to make that bigger explosive play down the football field. Like, he was really trying to let it develop. I just didn't think that was the right time for that play to develop. You're looking to drive the ball with 2 minutes and 56 seconds to get a touchdown, not a field goal. You needed a touchdown. So you needed to do what it took to keep the drive alive. And my opinion,
first down too.
It was giving it right back. Oh my gosh, you gave it right back. I mean, the first turnover by Luke Farrell, 15 minutes, the beginning of the second quarter. You get the ball back. You're up 3-0. You can go up 10-0 because you already proved you can get down to the red zone on this team. And boom, what do? 11-yard gain, fumble. It's just, you can't make this stuff up. I will say this, John, though. As many mistakes that the 49ers made in that game, they still had an opportunity to win it. I don't think Jacksonville is that great of a team. I think their circumstance and luck comes into some of the stuff. The kickoff, the punt return was a big part of their play. And if you take that away, Niners win by 2. So it's just the Niners just found a way to lose the game. They found a way to win week 1, week 2, week 3, and found a way to lose that game.
And I think that's what this year's going to be. Like, it's going to be gritty. What happens in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line? And 3 times that's worked out for you. 1 time it did not. Like, this game felt similar. The turnovers were a little bit different, but special teams has sucked every single game,
every single week.
The offense has moved the ball passing. They've led in first downs every single game. They've led in yards every single game. That was true this game as well. The run game hasn't worked in any single game. You haven't had great pass rush in any single game, but, like, you keep finding ways to win because your defense, this time the offense just gave up so much with all those turnovers.
Just the turnovers. The turnovers were bad. Offensively, statistically, they moved the ball. I mean, the offense was over 60% on 3rd down. That hasn't happened all season long. All season long we ain't been over 50%. We finally found ways to convert on 3rd down. Unfortunately, you got to the red zone 3 times. You only chimed in for 1 touchdown. That's 33%. Again, it's unacceptable. And, John, you can't come at me with that red zone percentage this week, because we are 27th in the league in the red zone, bro.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. The weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is just how quick and easy it is. You pick two stats, more or less. If they hit, you get paid. George Kittle, more or less than 49.5 receiving yards. Christian McCaffrey, more or less than 65.5 rush yards. It's that simple. Plus, you play Prize Picks to get action on football in more than 40 states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen's pass yards, rush yards, touchdowns? Now you can in the same lineup, only on Prize Picks. So download Prize Picks app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. The holidays are upon us, and who in your family is the hardest to shop for during the holidays? Is it kids, partners, parents, in-laws? Well, Cozy Earth is a gift that they'll truly appreciate. We started with their sheets, and let me just tell you, I'm a super hot sleeper. The wife is exact opposite. Multiple blankets, dog curled up at her feet, whatever else. We went with Cozy Earth sheets. Both of us slept wonderful. It is absolutely off the charts. And here's what's crazy. They're promoting a 100-night refund, meaning you get the sheets, you can wash them, use them, wash them again, whatever else. 100 nights. If you don't like them, then you can return them. But I'm telling you right now, I don't think you're going to return them because they're just such high quality. And they stand behind their products. 10-year warranty. So once you feel the level of comfort, you'll want it to last a decade. And if something goes wrong, they'll take care of you. So Black Friday has come early at Cozy Earth. Right now, you can stack my code, 49ersRush, no spaces, 49ERS, RUSH, on top of the site-wide sale, giving you up to 40% off in savings. That's CozyEarth.com, code 49ersRush, for up to 40% off in savings. These deals won't last long, so start your holiday shopping today. And if you get a post-purchase survey, be sure to mention that you heard about Cozy Earth right here on the 49ers Rush podcast. Wrap the ones you love in luxury with Cozy Earth. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there's nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there. Yeah, you're not cashing it in. Now, the one thing that is working, and we're getting some of these questions, like, why don't we run more screens? You have 4 screen touchdowns in the past 2 weeks. Like, you're not running a lot of them. But when you do run them, you get touchdowns. So, like, screens are kind of a elongation of the running game. I know they don't count as running things. It's an extension.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, do we need more?
Yes.
How many screens did we run this game?
Yes.
I'm pulling it up now.
Yeah, and share me the pull-up because I want to be able to see it from my own eyes. I trust you. I just need to be able to see it because
they ran 4 screens. Two of them went for touchdowns.
And they were all successful. Listen, guys, there's several types of screens. There's bubble screens, wide receiver screens, tight end screens, running back screens, or halfback screens, however you want to call it. And there's just different ways that they do it. There was a screen to Christian McCaffrey, big gain. There was a screen for the touchdown in this game, big gain. And so the screens are timed plays. And so it's more like when you got the defense kind of pushed back, and they're playing back, and if you can sell that rush up front to where Brock can float the ball, the first play of the game was a screen, sort of like a screen. He got it out to Kyle Juszczyk. Might have been a fullback screen, if I'm not mistaken. He was, I don't know if he was behind, near the line of scrimmage or whatever, but at first play, it was boot action. Juice was right there, floated it over the defensive end because he was crashing in. Boom, big gain on the first play. And so, like, yeah, I would love to see more screens. I think the issue with the screens is blocking. And so if it doesn't work, whew, it's going to get blowed up. And so I think it's all timing for Kyle Shanahan when to set the screens. There's not going to be any Kyle Shanahan bashing on this show. I saw trick plays. I saw dialed up plays. I saw Kyle Shanahan get creative around the goal line to get a goddamn touchdown with a shovel pass. You can't come at and Kyle did nothing wrong in this game. Now, players, even on some of those plays, the right play was in that play. I'm telling you, Brock just misread some of those plays to get the ball.
Late or high. And that like, you look at both the touch, like, interceptions.
Mm. I love coming on the show because I can really air out what I saw after watching the film, because I do my film stuff on Monday. And so now I feel super prepared here.
I love it, man. But, yeah, even the touchdown pass or the interception that got tipped, like, you got to throw that ball early.
Early. Oh.
Like, he was just late. Like, he was staring it down and just waiting. And then even the play where Ricky Pearsall got injured, that was wide open. He just threw it late. And he didn't step into it. You can't have a noodle arm and not step into an out route. Mm-hmm. You have to throw, like, and again, I'm not trying to be, like, Brock Purdy has one of the least strong arms in the NFL. That's okay. He's always had that. But his footwork has always been immaculate. Now it's not. Because of the foot injury. Whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, you could say his toe didn't hurt him, but that dude's not stepping into passes consistently, and that is costing you. That's costing you huge.
It's causing indecisiveness. It's because he's not throwing the ball to the spot. Now he's trying to get the ball to the receiver, and that's not Brock. And so, yeah, maybe the injury is affecting him, and I don't want to blame it on the injury, but clearly he's not necessarily stepping into his throws. Even the big throw down the football field, the over-the-shoulder catch to Ricky Pearsall, was off his back foot. It was all arm. It wasn't the greatest throw, and Ricky had to come back and catch the ball. Remember? And so that was the biggest game.
That was a terrible throw.
Okay.
But, like, Brock, it was awful. Like, Ricky Pearsall is just so freaking good. He's just so good.
His ball tracking skills are amazing.
Yeah.
You know? For him to be able to track that ball down and come back, that was amazing.
I want to say this, like, being critical, like, if the film shows you something, you represent that. Like, that's just what it is. Like, we're not turning on Brock Purdy, at least I'm not.
I'm not.
Wayne is. Yeah, it was a bad game. His footwork is not good. His decision-making is late. He hasn't practiced. Sure as hell hasn't practiced with any of these wide receivers.
There you go. That's a big thing.
When are you getting the and that's what Brock Purdy is. He's a chemistry guy. So who's he throwing well to?
That's why I need it. That's why I wanted him to play that week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, because he missed 2 weeks, so he has to get back into what we call rhythm. We expect Brock to be Brock, and beginning of the game, he looked good. And then he went through a series of incomplete passes, and then he went through a series of just bad reads, high throws. And so I'm not saying that he's regressing or anything like that. It's just when defenses play a certain way, Brock struggles. And the Niners, this is not just on Brock, because the Niners do got to figure out how to run the ball. They got to figure out how to get the defenses that they're playing, play a little bit more honest. Right now, the defenses are cheating. They are either stacking the box, or they're just not selling out on the run and dropping back in coverage. Like, it's one or the other. It's never in between. So when play action happens, they're not biting. The interceptions, because the linebacker was playing depth in the field. He didn't even bite on a run on the play action. He was like, these cats ain't run the ball at all today. So they got to figure out how to get some good, successful runs, whether it's stretch runs. And right now, it just seems like the more successful runs, not having George Kittle, are kind of like up the middle. And they got to get back. They just got to do it. They just got to stick to some series of runs, mix in more Brian Robinson. That's his thing. Stop giving him the outside runs and let him get that ball up the middle. How you get down to the 1-3-2 yard line and don't give him an opportunity when that's his specialty?
He's the only dude averaging over 4 yards a carry.
He's averaging, like, the most
under 3 yards.
Like, yeah.
Not good. Now, shout out to 49ers Throwback in the super chat. Thank you, man. He says, you guys be optimistic. I'll be realistic. I have us getting whooped Thursday night. We are too injured. Run offense and special teams continue to hurt us. Look, there is the rest of the season, and there is this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 2 weeks, you know, you're about to get a mini bye. So you play Thursday night, rush, banged up, no practice. Like Brock, Mac, they're not going to get any practice with Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings. Like, everybody's banged up. Like, so don't expect the chemistry and cohesion to show up Thursday night. Now, maybe you pull off something awesome and you just show up and ball out. We'll deal with that later. But post week five, whenever you finally get time to rest,
they're going
to
tune
finally
up.
Get time to practice.
Absolutely.
That's where things are going to change. I don't expect a lot to change this week, if I'm going to be honest, Wayne. Am I crazy?
No, but you can. And the reason why you can is because it's a short week. And it's not a lot that you need to change. It's just to add in another wrinkle in time, right? So maybe instead of going with your two running backs, you add a third element to this game. Maybe the pass-catching running back. Since you like to throw the ball, since teams are kind of taking away the defense, I'm not saying Jordan James deserves a shot, but where's Isaac Garrido?
That's a good reps. Right. Isaac Garrido, if you watch, I know people don't watch the special teams, but like,
but special teams,
5 to 6 special teams play where he didn't touch a person.
Yeah, like, that's just not his thing.
He's a lead blocker, and he just literally runs around defenders. Like, the two players that I'm like most, Jair Brown refuses to play special teams. He's too good for it. Like, he has no energy.
Oh, yeah, because he's a top 5 safety in the league.
He is, and Isaac Garrido is not football IQ enough to know what to do.
That's unfair to say, because special teams,
the worst choices.
I agree with that. No. Your film doesn't lie. My point is, maybe he just doesn't play special teams. Some players don't play special teams. Some players don't understand their assignments on special teams. That comes down to the coach making sure that the players know exactly what they're doing on special teams. And so you're asking a pass-catching running back to play special teams just because he's fast. No, that doesn't work. Now, how does he make this roster? You're hoping he can play special teams. That's what special teams players are. Guys that aren't necessarily ready to fulfill the starting role. Because once you get a starter, they're not playing on special teams. My thing is this. I'm not asking him to play special teams. Find somebody else to play special teams if he's that bad. Take his ass, put him in the backfield. We have zero explosive plays. And when I say explosive, we have zero runs over 20 yards this year. Zero. The longest run from the line of scrimmage is 19 yards by Brian Robinson Jr. Christian McCaffrey's longest is 15 yards. Zero. You need an explosive play. Hell, if Travis Etienne doesn't get the 48-yard play, the Niners defense would have held out. Subtract 48 minus 151. Easy. They would have held out. Matter of fact, the first play, run play of the game went for 11 yards. After that, negative play. I thought the run defense fixed. Nope. Because Mykal Williams is too young to know how to contain. But we don't take him out of the game. I'm just saying, you got to play these players. These coaches got to be a little bit more wise on how they're utilizing some of these players. He's got to learn. That is his position. But when you went from him being inside predominantly, now telling you got to play outside, you got to contain, throwing him into the fire, you knew they were going to try to get the best. This is not a non-outside zone running back. Travis Etienne, as soon as you miss, as soon as you over-pursue, he is gone.
Yeah, D. Winters ran himself out of that play. Mykal Williams wasn't good. Jason Pinnick,
he missed the tackle. Yeah.
I can't wait for Malik to be back. Not only did he miss the tackle, but then he picked D. Winters, who was chasing him down, and blocked his own dude.
I saw that too.
Oh, my God, it was bad. And a lot of that was, dude, they had a 14-play drive before that. You go out there, one play turnover.
They retired.
Now an exhausted defense goes out there. And again, not excuses, but D. Winters has been awesome this year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he gave up that touchdown play. He ran himself out of, you know, his pursuit angle. It was awful, but it's complimentary football. And right now the defense is basically carrying all the weight of the offense and special teams.
They're carrying the team, bro.
Week in, week out, week in, week out. And you got some rookies everywhere that are going to make mistakes.
Yeah, at some point it was going to give out. That's why I didn't say that the defense did all they could do. But you know, not creating any turnovers. They got to figure that out. I mean, Fred has got to hit the jug machine. I'm sorry. If they're throwing the ball to you, bro, Fred is playing the best depth I've ever seen at the linebacking, and it's because he's trusting what's going on. He feels he's confident to not give up an explosive play. He is playing the pass every single play, and it's coming to him. He just don't got the hands right now. Like whatever it is, it's just not mapping up. But
and sticking with that, like Marquis Siegel made the best play of his young career, drives down, breaks up the ball, bats it straight up and right into Fred's hands, and he doesn't come down with it. You had two of those. They caught both theirs.
Absolutely.
And now was there more in their chest or more difficult? Don't care. Don't care.
Got to take advantage of those opportunities, man. And Fred said it. You know, he said he's got to take advantage of the opportunities. And that's what I love about Fred Warner. I love about all the players. I love that they take accountability for the things. I mean, Brock took accountability. Kendrick Bourne took accountability. Kendrick Bourne is the worst wide receiver on the football field.
He was the worst player on the field.
He was the worst player on the football field.
Horrible
I'm sorry.
Run blocking, ran the wrong routes, didn't line up right, got a penalty,
three drops.
Four targets, worst run blocking grade ever.
Now we go in there. Yeah, look. That first one, he had to catch. I don't care if it came in hot or not. Your job is to catch that pass. If it's right in front of you, you got to catch it. You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like the drops, PFF said there were four drops. I counted six drops, but maybe some of those passes were off
PFF,
a little bit.
Dude, like, they're a launching point, not the gospel.
Understood. But my point is, I still.
This is coming from somebody that was not hired by PFF when I first applied. I applied there before I started a podcast, and they didn't take me. And well, so, like, they sponsored the show for a little while, which was cool.
Okay.
But,
I was about to do something different to them. But anyway, you know. But my point is, though, John, when it came down to the offense, you know, I didn't think Brock Purdy played as bad as it seemed. He definitely didn't have help by his pass catchers, and I'm still on the fence. I know Christian McCaffrey should have caught that first pass. I just don't consider that as a drop. That was a difficult pass to catch. It was high. It was away. He had to jump. He got his hands on it, you know, but at the end of the day, if that pass, like you said, if the trigger was pulled a little bit earlier, he's catching that pass in stride. He's making that first person miss, and he's possibly going in for six.
Yeah, Shanahan said he expected that one to be a touchdown.
Oh, I missed that part of the press. I think I fell asleep on that part. So, because they're boring. Sorry. They got to liven those pressers up a little bit, man. Have some music. Have some something.
You ever see that Key and Peele sketch where, like, Obama gets up there, then he's got his interpreter? You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, I would pay so much money to get Wayne up there, let Kyle say something, and then Wayne, what he's telling you?
Yo, people don't know. Like, who doesn't know about Key and Peele? I was trying to tell somebody about some Key and Peele skits the other day, and they were like, who was that?
What?
Like, some of the funniest skits I've ever seen. It's just some of the funniest skits I've ever seen. I mean, it's in Living Color, and then it's Key and Peele. And maybe Mad TV. I got to put some Mad TV in there, too. But skits, crazy.
Chappelle Show.
Yeah, yeah, my bad.
All right, I want to talk wide receivers, what you want the 49ers to do at wide receiver this week, who you expect to play, and I want to get to Sonia's comment, which I think is really good, and we're going to use that as a launching point right after this. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. All right. Shout out to Sonia for the super chat. She says teams don't respect our wide receivers. Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, CMC command attention. We used to have so many throwing options that the teams couldn't ignore, right? We were the Avengers. Well, right now you're operating with wide receivers outside of Ricky Pearsall that are struggling, to say the least. And aren't practicing. Juwan Jennings, not practicing. Kendrick Bourne, you just traded for. MVS, or didn't trade for, but just signed, joined the team. But, like, our quarterbacks aren't practicing. Our wide receivers aren't practicing. You're not getting that chemistry. And, again, you've got backups everywhere. So my question to you is this, Wayne, picking up with where Sonia's kind of leaving this. Dude, what do you expect at the wide receiver? Is Ricky Pearsall going to play this week? Is Juwan Jennings going to play this week?
So I'm not expecting Ricky Pearsall to play this week. He has some sort of a PCL injury that I just don't think.
He tried to get back out there. He's tough as hell, man.
I mean, that happened on that overthrow, late throw, out of bounds. He tried to make the catch on. His knee hit the ground. Not blaming the throw. I'm just saying that's when it happened. But at the end of the day, like, I just don't think this is – just give let him heal up. I mean, this is the NFL, and you've got other professionals out there. I would like to see more DeMarcus Robinson featured in his second game back. So that's the X factor to me in this upcoming game. We already know what Juwan Jennings can do. Revert Juwan back to his original role. Third down, specialist. Put him in the slot. Why is he not in the slot anymore? Like, get him back there. Let him take advantage. I'm getting angry. Get him back to where he dominates. He doesn't have to be out on every package, 11 personnel. He doesn't need to be in one of the three wide receiver
he's
sets.
He's not right.
Right.
He has three injuries. Like, they don't even have – you only do two injuries in the practice report. Like, he has three. He's got shoulder. He's got calf.
Calf.
He's got ribs. Like
now his ribs.
Keep going.
Hey, John, how much for an order of ribs? Now, that was one of the original skit movies of all time. If you never seen I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, leave this podcast right now. But as soon as you leave.
I watched it all the freaking time, man.
Listen. Oh. But no, seriously, like, to get back to your question, and Sonia, I just wanted to give you a high five. You know, I spoke about this on my podcast, and I said the issue is if I asked yesterday what was the biggest concern, and I let everybody get their take off, and then at the end of the show I closed out, John, and said, well, my biggest concern is the wide receivers, and it's because teams are not respecting the wide receivers, and it's because they can't create separation. So I went into depth on what the issue is, and you got one guy that can somewhat create some sort of type of separation. And so that's Ricky Pearsall. And guess what? He's probably not going to play. And so, look, I watched DeMarcus Robinson take a shot. I wouldn't be surprised if he ain't got some type of injury, too, because he took a shot on a high throw. But at the end of the day,
that was an amazing catch.
That was so good. You want to talk about fingertip catch? Wow. You got to let him be the feature guy. You gotta tell Kendrick Bourne, we're gonna target you. You have to catch the ball, bro. Like, if you're gonna be here, you gotta catch the ball. If not, if Kendrick Bourne has three drop passes in this game, his ass has gotta go. I don't give a how infectious his smile is. I don't care how the vibe is. Cut that fucking dancing out and catch the ball. Like, that's your job. That's your role.
Or block. Or know what to do.
I don't even care if he doesn't block. No, just catch the ball, because he's going to get the opportunities to catch the ball. He's open underneath. And the routes that he runs, right, he's open. That ball's going to come in hot sometimes. Just be ready. Catch the ball. Maybe we bring MVS back. Maybe he could be part of this wide receiving core. I do expect Juwan Jennings to play, but I don't expect Ricky Pearsall to play. And Sonia hit the nail on the head. I say we because we're a family. We trashed Debo Samuel. And maybe he didn't look good last year for us. That's fine. He dropped a lot of passes.
Contract year. It is now.
Listen, and I've never seen him get open this much in his life, but maybe it's the offense. And I always said, John, Debo's issue isn't Debo. It's the way Kyle Shanahan is using him. I will stand by that. Now he's in Washington, and he's playing really good football. And so – he put pump fair into everybody. No one routed up cats like Brandon Ayuk. George Kittle just stayed open after he took your soul from a block and put you into the ground. Like, that is a lot missing for any quarterback from the 49ers, Brock or Mac. And so there's some adjusting have to go on. I'm not blaming the quarterback. He's nothing he could do when he doesn't have his weapons. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. But the Niners got to figure out a way to make the defenses respect them. I expect those deep shots down the football field this week. I expect testing that secondary, but it's going to be hard because Brock's got to get that ball and Mac's got to get that ball out of their hands quick. They have one of the most fastest, ferocious defensive lines. If you thought Seattle was the shit, sorry, John. If you thought Jacksonville was the stuff,
They're all pass rushers. They, like, it's funny because you have these two conflicting ways that these teams built their defenses. Robert Saleh comes in and says, we're stopping the run first and foremost. We're getting all run stuffers. The Rams, they came out and built their team. We just want pass rushers. We don't care if you can't stop the run. Like, everybody, Braden Fisk is awesome. That dude's such a liability against the run, but he can rush the passer. And so now Jared Verse, that dude can
he's a monster. He's
some
a,
of
he's
their
different.
Guys can. Connor, they have good players.
They got Byron Young, too. Like, don't sleep on the edge. Like, they have guys. I just want to put that out there, man. They built their team to get to the quarterback. Yep. And we saw it last year. When those guys were rookies, it was a little different. And then they started adding more young players, kind of like what Robert Saleh is doing this year. They went with their key vets and they added some of these young players. Got to give those guys time to develop. The Rams' defense is pretty much developed as far as pass rushing. So you can run on this defense because they're probably going to run
and
right
the
by
49ers.
You.
That's the question. And the 49ers. You got the worst run-blocking offensive line.
This
got to
be
NFL.
The game you get
wide
right.
Wide receivers ain't blocking.
This got to be the game.
Always the get-right game, baby.
Right. You're right. You said that. But my point is, when you have – what's the word, John? When you have guys that are just like – salivating to get to the QB, screen it up.
Yes.
Run it at him.
And I do think Kyle's called some great games. Like, I the fact that you were 3-0 or 3-1 now, let's put this game in there, with, like, what you have, like, dude, you literally week one had the worst wide receiver core in the NFL. Like, period. Like, you were playing with nobody. You
but we
MBS
knew.
MBS and Sky Moore starting.
We knew that, though. Like.
But, like.
But our hope, no. Yeah. We are the most hopeful people in the world. Like, we are, until you prove our hope wrong, we are going to give you a shot. That's the faithful. But the moment.
I know we're in first place, and everybody's like, fire Kyle Shanahan. Let me just say this. Like, if you believe that they should fire Kyle Shanahan, that's fine. Keep that view. That's your prerogative.
For sure.
I'm saying that is insanity. Sure. And that's okay. We're fans. We're fanatics, right? Fanatical. That's an insane take to me. That is just, you are in first place with everybody injured and
top five offense in the league.
Rebuild year. And yeah, it that's just crazy to me. I will never understand that. But again, I remember Jim Tom Sula and Chip Kelly and Dennis Erickson. Like, I remember those guys. And just, I remember having no hope ever. Now we're pissed off we're in first place. Like,
we're pissed off. Yeah, we're not pissed off that we're in first place. Let's say it right. We're pissed off because it's just not everything hits the fan for us every single year. I mean, at some point, do we get the lucky train? Do we get it? Just for at some point, like, I can remember since Kyle's been here, we've had one, maybe. Even the year we went to the Super Bowl, both years we had injuries down the stretch that cost us, to me, those Super Bowls. Bad injuries. Even in the last Super Bowl, George Kittle, toward the end of the game, back, came out of the game on one play. It was just one play. And we couldn't sustain it. We couldn't sustain the drive because you're – It's unfortunate that for Kyle Shanahan, he has the weirdest offense to where every player that has been handpicked, like selected and all pro-ish, once those players are gone, man, it's a totally different vibe offensively. Offensively, it's totally different vibe. And if we're not going to sit here, we're going to sit here and trash the offense. If we don't talk about the defense only generating not five pressures, like we're not doing our job because five pressures ain't going to cut it.
Yeah, John Lynch talked about that this morning, too. Like, you got to harass the quarterback. And now you're playing Matthew Stafford, who's probably one of the best quarterbacks against the blitz. So if you're going to manufacture pressure by bringing five or six, like, that's his cup of tea. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, we'll see what that is. Now, what I want to do next is I want to talk about the schedule, because I do think that these next two games are not only the Rams the most important game, but I think this is the toughest stretch of games in the entire 49ers schedule. And I want to go through that with you, Wayne, right after this.
49ers rush road trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, the Tampa Bay game has been flexed. Nobody's happier than me. Our tailgate doesn't start until 1 p.m. Time for the Tampa Bay local time there, which is going to be huge. So come party with us out on Clearwater Beach the day before on Saturday. Then tailgate with us right across the street next to the giant pirate ship, which is a good time. Then Houston, we get to be with Wayne, and I am so excited. Man, everybody coming out to Houston. We got Travis King, I the Niner, Frank Gore, but Wayne Breezy's top of the list. That is going to be incredible. And then New York, man, we get back-to-back weeks with Wayne. I'm freaking pumped about that. We'll be partying in Jersey at the Ainsworth on Saturday the 1st. And then we got a tailgate that starts. We're going to be over in MetLife Lot J. Cannot wait. Premium tailgate, unlimited premium drinks, premium food, you name it. Kids are free to every event we ever have. That's what it is. Man, I'm pumped about this schedule. So let's talk about it, because look, Jacksonville 3-1, that's in the past. Mm-hmm. You've got the Rams 3-1, mm-hmm. and you've got the Bucks 3-1. Three mm-hmm. weeks in a row.
It's tough, man.
There's not a more difficult aspect to this schedule, or there's not a close back-to-back difficulty like these three games. Sucks the 49ers are not at their best for this quote-unquote gauntlet. Yeah, we've gone through that in the past, but like,
it's tough. It's gonna
be
tough.
You gotta play the games.
You gotta. There it is. That's what it is. You gotta play the game, and you take it one game at a time. Look, I will say this, and I'm gonna say it again. I said it earlier. As bad as everything looked last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars,
and it looked bad.
The 49ers still had an opportunity to win that game. They failed. And they should have never put themselves in the predicaments. Sometimes games just go that way. There's games we were talking and we're not turning the ball over like crazy. There's games where the turnover side is going to flip to us at some point, and we better be able to seal the deal and close out a game. But I will say this. The Jacksonville Jaguars have four turnovers, and they barely beat the San Francisco 49ers, and it took a special teams touchdown to do so. If I'm Brant Boyer, that's never happening again, or I will quit my job.
Got to get Grindo and 27 off the damn field.
Yeah.
That'd help a lot. I hope those changes take place, at least on special teams. That's the thing. It's like, I've watched these guys make horrible mistakes time and time again for four straight weeks on punt return, on kickoff return, and they just keep them out there. And I'm just like, what the, like, that's what drives me crazy.
I just don't think they belong on special teams. Some players, people think special teams is you go down there and you just hit somebody, or you go down there and you make a tackle. No, there's that's why you got a coordinator. If it was just that, you wouldn't need a coordinator. Like, you actually do things and have assignments on special teams, and the moment you over pursue an assignment, you're going to give up a big play. You're hoping your teammate can save your ass, even though I thought there was a block on the back on that return. But I'm not gonna have a conversation because I'm not a ref. But at the end of the day, I thought the refs made some bad calls. And the fact that they apologized to Kyle Shanahan let me know they was in the wrong a lot more than what they should have been. But anyway, special teams can't never let that happen. You can't give up any points on special teams. And you got to make all your field goal attempts on special teams.
Yeah.
And so far, Eddie Pinheiro has been doing his thing, so he gets the round of applause for me.
I like Eddie P, man. Yeah. I like Eddie P. And then it's not only just that punt return touchdown, that kickoff.
54-yard
they got
return.
Past the 50 right before, and they got a field goal out of it. Like
54-yard return.
That's 3 points.
That was before the half, remember?
Yeah, right before they had like 30 seconds, and they started on their own 45 because special teams and Chase Lucas. Like
I knew that was going to happen because the way our luck is set up. You saw it. So you knew the touchdown was coming because the kick return happened. And so it was always going to come down to that. And it took that. And I'm not taking that away from the Jacksonville Jags. But that's what it took to beat the 49ers. I just want to put that out there. They didn't necessarily beat Robert Saleh's defense. They just end up winning the game because they had a little bit of help on special teams. We're never going to see what that looks like. We're never going to get that. That's just not how our special teams is built, right? We don't have those types of players. But that's what helped them out. Ever.
Yeah. And that's so frustrating. Like three different coordinators, and it just gets worse and worse and worse no matter what you change. Like, I do like that you moved on from Moody. I like that you moved on from Tabor. I like that you moved on from Mitch. All three of those, you've gotten better players. Like, all three, the punter, the kicker, the long snapper have been awesome. It's just the other stuff. And so, like, you fixed the kicker position, which was our biggest gripe for 2.5 years. You fixed it, but now the other stuff is there. Like, you're getting solid punts. Just the coverage is bad. And you changed all those players, too. So, like, you changed the coordinator. Like, Kyle Shanahan ain't in those special teams meetings. Like, that is not him. That's three separate coordinators. And we have changed the way we cover punts. We changed the way we cover kicks. We changed the way we block for kicks. We changed the way we block for punts.
You speaking. You preaching, bro.
It's not working.
It unfortunately, that's what happened. So, I said that to say this. This is a divisional game. I expect Kyle Shanahan and his A game, Robert Saleh and his A game. The loss could have been the best thing for the 49ers. We're so looking at how depleted we are, and you could be as realistic as you want. We are injured. I'm realistic on the injury. There's nothing we can do about it. I mean, we're missing an all-pro tight end. We're missing an all-pro defensive end. Right, you're missing now your premier kind of like second year star studded wide receiver. You're missing your best wide receiver on the PUP, right? And where are the Niners struggling defensively? Oh, I know, they're struggling with stopping the run and at the safety position. That's just where they're struggling, because your best safety is still on the PUP, and poor Marquise Siegel is just going to get picked on week in, week out. Upton Stout, week in, week out. They make big plays, but they also give up big plays, and so it kind of just negates itself out, and that's just what teams are going to do. That's what why don't we do that? Why don't we pick on the young pups? Damn it. Like, I'll be looking for that. Hey, man, that guy's a rookie. I'm throwing it at him. I don't give what. I don't care if where he is. I'm throwing it to him. With my guy, you get to him. Take him out. Just challenge. We're not even doing that, man. Like, I don't know why the Niners offense doesn't take pages out of other players' books. But, hey, we are who we are. Defensively, I think the team has been great. Offensively, the identity, there's just no identity. There's no identity. We're not running the ball.
It's pass heavy team, man. It's pass after dark from now on. Like, that's
there
just
it is. I like that.
Be.
I like that, bro. I like that. I don't like that, but I like what you said. That's what it is.
It's a pass team. It's funny because you talk about like picking on their whatever. Shanahan's MO is picking on linebackers. Like,
yeah,
he wants to put those guys in the triangle and just make the. But Devin Lloyd, I think, is the second best linebacker in the NFL, and he freaking dominated. Now, the reason why the 49ers have won against the Rams so many times,
linebackers,
is because Sean McVay refuses to invest in the linebacker position. They've got Omar Spates
and
Nate Landman who are out there, like undrafted free agent. And
I'm so glad
free agent. Those are their starting linebackers.
I'm so glad Ernest Jones is with the Seahawks, and we played him already. Yep. But he was the dominant player in that game because we weren't running the ball right. So he did what Lloyd did. The issue is the linebackers aren't biting on the play action pass. We're not getting any explosive runs. And because of that, linebackers are playing coverage. And so when the quarterback has to drop back and they're looking to put the ball in the middle of the field where that triangle is, linebackers playing the right depth, and you're kind of thrown into double coverage, even though the safety might be a little bit higher up because you got the linebacker playing depth. So now the safety can play a little bit deeper back there just to, you know, close out space. So it's been rough, but this defense up front is fast and furious. So it's going to be interesting to see if they try to play that game. And I'm going to keep it a buck. I prefer Brock Purdy over Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah.
In the short throw game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. And I agree with you now. How healthy he is, that's got to factor into it. I'd like him to practice at least once. I mean, shoot, we're already on Tuesday. Tomorrow's the walkthrough because you're not technically doing practices on this short week.
Oh.
Like, it's like... you're just out there, man. Like, you're not, nobody's bumping. Like, you're not going full contact. You're doing shells, tops, whatever else. But, like, you look at the Rams defense. They have a great defensive line. They have great safeties. They have horrible corners. They have horrible linebackers. It's a matchup league. The 49ers and Kyle Shanahan has always been able to exploit this Rams defense. I mean, it's uncanny the amount of success you've had against this team since Shanahan and McVay have been here. Can that continue? We'll see. Do you have enough pieces to exploit that? I don't know, man.
That's where it kind of gets tough. Like, do you pick the Niners to win this game?
I'm going to. They're 3.5-point underdogs, according to Vegas.
I kind of don't want to pick them either, because just from what we saw last week, it wasn't enough. And I'm not saying that the Rams aren't the turnover team like the Jags, though. So that's good, right? They don't generate turnovers like that. You came into the Jags game, and you knew the one thing you needed to do was protect the goddamn ball. The Rams don't pose that threat. They just pose the threat getting to the quarterback. Like, you know what I mean? So protect your QB and obviously protect the ball. The Niners have a shot. We're 3-1, yes. And so don't act like they do have a shot. But on the road in L.A., it didn't end well last year with them, with the Rams, and they're just not healthy. Yeah. But they have a shot. I will say that.
Oh, yeah. Any given Sunday, man. Like, you can win. Division games are weird. Thursday night games are even more weird.
More weird, yeah. I don't start.
And you're playing at SoFi, where they're piping in fan noise. They don't even have any real Rams fans there. There's going to be 49ers fans are going to show up. Like, dude, the short week might have been the best thing for the 49ers. And, like, I know that doesn't make sense logically, but I'm telling you right now, the 49ers are pissed off. You get out there on the field. The Rams just got gifted a game. By the Colts.
The wide receiver just fumbles the ball on the goal line. The kid from your school, Texas.
Yeah, A.D. Mitchell.
Sorry.
I was pissed. I was watching the Niners game. I had it on the side there. And I was just like.
I mean, like, you wanted the Colts to win. You know, they had it.
Indiana Jones, baby.
Yeah, it's all about Indiana Jones.
We'll be traveling up there, man. We'll be there. Indianapolis, Monday Night Football. I was telling my wife my traveling schedule, which I got her approved before. I waited for her to get in a good mood. I was like, I want to do all these games. What do you think? She's like, that's fine. And then she's like, well, let's go over your flights. And I was like, well, I get back Tuesday, December 23rd. And the wife's like, but that's the day before Christmas Eve. And I was like, yeah, you already approved it. You already said I could do this. And she's like, yeah, but that's – I was like, well, we don't do anything on the day before Christmas Eve. We never have as a family. Like, that's a work day for
you. She's about to change it up like Kyle Shanahan offense.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Yeah.
We're about to do the Liam Cohn and Robert Saleh post game on the field. She was going to be coming at me. And anyway, I was going to have.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, all right. Wade, this has been fun. Take us out of here. Let's wrap this show up. The 49ers have a chance. Yeah. And if we sounded negative, well, it's because everybody's hurt. And you're coming off a loss. And what has typically worked for the 49ers is not working currently. Doesn't mean you're not in first place. Most important game is 2 days away. Wayne, take us out of here, my friend.
Well, you said it, man. Niners do have a shot, and they can win this game. And I have some keys to victory on how they can do so. Niners got to show up. And I thought they started off that game against the Jaguars a little lethargic. I didn't think the energy was there. But you know where they do bring the energy? They bring it to SoFi, a.k.a. Levi South. The Niners are the energy in that stadium. I expect the fans to be there. I expect the Niners to show up. And you know what, John? I don't care if we're bruised, battered, and injured. We're going to go out there, and we're going to take the horn off the ram and hold it in the air. I can see Fred Warner doing that, by the way. Like somebody draw that picture. That needs to happen immediately after the game. Love y'all. Keep it faithful to the Bay. We'll be back Friday on my channel, and we're going to go ham on this game. Peace.